Just want to read a few verses to connect last week's message that Chris brought us into today's. And we're in Genesis chapter 39 and through into chapter 40. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, at the place where the king's prisoners were also confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those that were held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him and gave him success whatever he did. But sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master. The king of Egypt, Pharaoh, was angry, and his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, he put them in the custody of the house of the captain of the guard. Now, the captain of the guard was Potiphar. In the same prison where Joseph was confined, the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. Now, Joseph has been having a pretty bad time, hasn't he? One thing or another. Well, actually, the baker was due to have a pretty bad time too, but we'll hear about that later. I have read this story about a Zimbabwean coach driver who found that he was driving from Harare to Bulawayo, and he had 20 mentally challenged patients that he was supposed to be transporting. But he stopped at a illegal bar on the way. And while he was in the bar and came back out, he realized that all those that were going to be transported had escaped. So he did no more he didn't want to be blamed for this, so he went to a nearby bus station and offered everybody there waiting a free lift. And he delivered the passengers to the mental institution, telling the staff that the patients were very excitable and were prone to bizarre fantasies, and the deception wasn't discovered for 3 days. They had a pretty bad time. But what about the man who, his wife came home, she found him in his kitchen, he was shaking frantically, almost in a dancing frenzy, and there was some kind of wire which ran from his waist towards the electric kettle. She thought the worst, so she intended to jolt him away from the deadly current. So she picked up a piece of wood that happened to be handy and smacked him with it to push him away. She broke his arm in two places, but up to that point, he'd been happily listening to his Walkman. You think you're having a bad day? It's really a great delight to be able to share with you about Joseph. He's a favorite character in the Bible of mine. I love him. And of course, we've been following his story from Canaan through to Egypt. Fascinating time of how God took this obnoxious, arrogant teenager. I did say in the first service that perhaps teenagers are often like that. Maybe I remember I was like that as well. He was a bit of a motor mouth, and he eventually became second in charge of Egypt. Just a few bits of pieces to remember the story to bring us up to date. Joseph had lived at home with his Jacob, his dad, and 10 brothers who were older, and a younger brother called Benjamin. He always was given the best attention in the home because Jacob loved him more than the others. Really a bad thing when that happens in a family, mainly because Joseph's mother was Rachel, who was his first love. Sadly, Jacob treated his sons in a way such that they led to resentment and jealousy. It was made even worse when Jacob presented Joseph with a beautifully ornamented coat, which we refer today as the coat of many colors. The older brothers were boiling over with irritation and anger because Joseph one day came down to breakfast and said, "I've had some dreams." And he recounted these dreams to the family, dreams of how he was going to be exalted and they were all going to bow down to him. And they thought, how can we get rid of this arrogant, annoying younger brother? And it came to a head when Jacob sent Joseph one day, I think it was a bit of a bad mistake, really, to go and report on his brothers and what they were doing with the flocks in a place called Dothan. Well, they watched, and one day somebody said, look, it's Joseph coming. They spotted him quite clearly because of that coat of many colours. And the brothers formed a plan to kidnap him and teach him a lesson. They'd found a dry water cistern, and they decided they'd take a coat off him and push him down into this well, this dry well. Reuben, the oldest one, well, he thought of a plan. He thought, well, I can go back later. We won't kill him. I don't want them to kill him, but we'll release him later, and he perhaps has learnt his lesson. But another plan emerged later on that day, because when Reuben was off of the scene somewhere, there was a party of Ishmaelite or Midianite traders that passed by on their way to Egypt. And Judah, one of the other brothers, said, I tell you what, let's make some money out of our brother. Let's sell him. So they sold him for a number of pieces of silver. And then the brothers took the special coat, and they were going to return to their father, so they coated it with goat's blood. And they told him the lie, that Joseph, they'd found the coat, so Joseph must have met an untimely end and been eaten by some wild animal. And Jacob was inconsolable and threatened to spend the rest of his life being miserable. Well, perhaps he was miserable. Joseph arrived in Egypt. He'd been dragged there as a slave. Now he was snapped up in the slave market by Potiphar, who was the captain of the king's palace guard. Last week, Chris took us through that next chapter of Joseph's life. And you remember how he rather euphemistically likened himself to the handsome, muscle-bound Joseph. Well, you decide. Joseph became a trusted steward for Potiphar. And he allowed him to run his home and his farms and his land. But it all came to a difficult end when Mrs. Potiphar decided to seduce Joseph. She'd been eyeing him for a good number of weeks, months perhaps. And then when he wouldn't react to her in the way she wanted, she accused him of rape. He ran away and left his coat with her. I was thinking about this story, you know, of Joseph. It's funny, isn't it? Two coats of Joseph got him into trouble, didn't they? The first coat was the ornamented coat of many colours that we call, and the second one, the coat that was left in Mrs. Potiphar's hands. When Potiphar returned from home, he needed to believe her story, and so not to bring shame on his wife and the family, he believed her. Or did he? But do you notice in the Bible how the Bible speaks of how angry Potiphar was when he heard the story? In fact, the text says that he was furious. You could say he was incandescent with his anger. Why? Because I think he knew his wife was lying. I think he knew what she was like. And he saw through her story. And now he was going to lose Joseph, an invaluable member of his household. While Joseph was with them, they prospered. And now he's going to lose Joseph. Potiphar was pretty upset by it. Joseph had been blessed by God, and through him, the whole household. Now he's unjustly accused, no trial, and he was incarcerated in the prison next door. Psalm 105 has an interesting commentary on Joseph in verses 17 to 19. It says, then he said, God sent someone to Egypt ahead of them. Joseph, sold as a slave. They bruised his feet with fetters. They placed his neck in an iron collar. And until the day came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. The alternative reading of the text here is that his soul entered into iron, or iron entered into his soul. And through these tribulations, through these troubles that Joseph had been through, God was doing something in Joseph, strengthening his character, making him ready for the world stage where he would appear later on. The question was, would he remain faithful in prison? So let's look at Joseph's character. When we speak of character, we quite glibly sometimes mix it up with reputation. Character is what we are when everything else is stripped away from us. What a person is in the eyes of God. It's what God knows that we are. As you read the story of the prison years, you see the character of Joseph being shaped and molded by God. Just bearing this in mind, this prison wasn't like an ordinary prison, not like a prison today. It was a warren of underground windowless rooms with damp floors, stale food and bitter water. That's what one commentator says of that place. And as Joseph slumps down on the floor, his back to the wall, he doesn't complain, he doesn't murmur, he doesn't say, why me? He knew that his life was in God's hands and God was calling him to be faithful, and he was secure in that place. Despite his circumstances, freedom curtailed, never once does he complain, whine, or submerge himself in self-pity. He knew he'd been falsely accused by Mrs. P. He didn't deserve this awful place, but he was determined to live faithfully in the presence of God. And you see, when God is number one in your life, you can endure circumstances no matter what they are. They matter very little if you know that God is in that place with you. Remember Acts 16, which you looked at in August? Paul and Silas, severely beaten and unjustly thrown into prison in Philippi. Did they sit down and say, oh, woe is us. Oh, what a terrible, terrible thing has happened. No, they occupied themselves singing praises and worshiping God and praying, never drifting into self-pity. The circumstances are irrelevant, actually, because God was with Joseph. This was a waiting time for Joseph, kidnapped and trafficked at age 17. We heard about someone's 17th birthday today, same age. And he endures the hardships of prison life for a few more years left in his life yet. Joseph proved his worth in that prison. The head jailer, obviously, probably prompted by Potiphar, gave him responsibility, and he was made responsible for the welfare of the prisoners. So the head jailer could relax. He could get on with his life, do whatever he likes, play bingo or listen to his Walkman, whatever. But these were years which weren't wasted, because God was at work developing Joseph's character. God had given him a precious gift in his teenage years, the ability to interpret dreams. Sadly, at age 17, Joseph was not ready to exercise that gift effectively. God was preparing him for the big stage in Egypt, but it wasn't yet. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, that famous preacher, once said, the worst thing that can ever happen to a person is to succeed before they're ready. The worst thing that can happen to a person is to succeed before they're ready. Joseph wasn't ready at 17, with that gift that God had given to him. It took 13 more years of hardship, of preparation, and learning to trust God, learning to remain faithful. Joseph was being prepared. It was like a boot camp, because God had a crucial task for him. He was to save his people who would be threatened with extinction from a future famine. Integrity combined with perseverance and faithfulness, God was at work in him. In the ups and the downs of his life, God clearly had not forgotten. Folks, I just want to say, whatever situation you find yourself in today, however you find, whatever your life is like at this moment, God has not forgotten you. You might be falsely accused. You might be facing opposition. You might be feeling the pressure. You may be struggling with the stormy times around you, and you're getting desperate. But God's not forgotten. He may seem distant at the moment, but he believes in you and he'll bring you through. It was Max Lucado who says in the title of his brilliant book on Joseph, you'll get through this. God simply calls us to be faithful and to trust him. God is at work in each of us, whether we know it or whether we don't. God is at work. Remember these lovely words from Lamentations in the Message version. He takes no pleasure in making life hard, in putting roadblocks in the way. Or Paul writing to his friends at Philippi, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It will be completed. God is at work. He has not given up. He has not forgotten you. There's a lovely picture in a European art gallery which depicts a fugitive fleeing across a desolate landscape. There are heavy clouds in the sky above his head. His situation seems desperate, but as you look deeper into the picture, you notice that the clouds are in the shape of a hand. Despite the dire situation, God was still there to protect him and have his hand upon him. Listen this morning to that whisper of God when he says to you, I love you. You are my precious child. I've not forgotten you. Or read these words from Hebrews 12, which goes on from where Kevin was talking to us this morning. This trouble you're in isn't punishment. It's training. It's the normal experience of children. So Joseph's character was being formed. What about his care and concern? Because into the prison come two of Pharaoh's key workers, his butler, or the wine taster, and the baker. These are important guys, and Joseph was assigned to take care of them. This meant bringing them food and water and looking after them, listen to their complaints, you know, the usual things. I don't deserve to be here. I've done nothing wrong. It seems that Joseph was patient with him. But one morning, he's doing his rounds. He gets to their cell, and he realizes that they're unusually grumpy and they're sad. So he says, well, what's wrong with you guys? And the answer was surprising. They said, we've had these dreams, vivid dreams, and we can't fathom out what they mean. Joseph's response was to testify to God's power. God is able to sort these things out. And I wonder at that moment, as he said those words, whether something stirred in his spirit and made him think back to those years, probably 11 years or so, back to when he was 17, back when he was back home, back when he had the gift of the interpretation of dreams. You know, all through those years, as far as we understand, there was no dreams came to Joseph. No, in those 11 years, nothing happened from age 17 to age 28. But as those guys recounted their dreams to Joseph, something kicked in from him, and he realized that God had given him the interpretations. For the butler, it was good news. You're going to be restored to the king's palace. You're going to get a new contract. Whereas the unfortunate baker would incur the king's wrath and be executed. 3 days later, as predicted by Joseph, the butler was called back to the palace on the king's birthday, and the baker met his untimely end. Notice Joseph's care and concern for those prisoners under his charge. He could have just passed them off their daily rations and gone on to visit the other prisoners. No, he sensed the confusion and the angst, and he asked them the reason why. You know, when we're going through tough times, it's so easy to become self-centered and be so caught up with ourselves that we forget the needs of other people. But Joseph was a highly emotionally intelligent leader, and he was aware of others' needs. Joseph displayed faithfulness and courage because in telling them the answer to their dreams, the interpretation of their dreams, and telling God's take on it, it was easy to tell the butler, oh, your contract's going to be renewed. You're going to be back in the palace serving the king. Much harder to tell the baker that he only had 3 days to live. Truth is sometimes painful to hear, but a faithful friend will always be honest, even though it costs. I wonder if you've got a faithful friend, someone who will speak the truth into your life. It's really important to have these people and to listen to them. Joseph was faithful in his work in the prison. He was consistent, if you want another C to go with the other two that I've used tonight, this morning. Joseph lived in a constant awareness that God was with him. Kidnapped, trafficked, sold as a slave, a servant, and now a prisoner. Where was God in it? God was never out of the picture. He was always there, and he had his hand upon his life. I wonder if you've experienced that in your life. When you've gone through ups and downs, you've known God's hand being upon your life still. I remember, I may have told you before, I'm sure I have, of when I was a new Christian, a new follower of Jesus at age 16, believing that I was destined to work in the aeronautical industry and only to crash and burn with my O-levels. Then an old lady in my church said to me one day, she said, you need to pray for God's direction. And for 2 months, I prayed, and God spoke to me very clearly and told me, teach. And that's what I've been doing all my life since then. Children's missions in Scripture Union and Moorlands, and now in churches, teaching in places like this morning. God has his hand upon your life, and he'll never let go. He never forgets us. When life seems unfair, when life seems incredibly tough, that's the time to recognize that God loves you and he's still in control. When heaven seems silent and you feel abandoned, worked out it's probably about 96,000 hours or so before God had spoken to him last and speaks to him now in a dream. Now he's stirring up that gift once more. I was saying in the first service, you know, we all love that lovely musical, don't we, about Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. And you remember one of the songs in it? It's wrong. The song says, any dream will do. And actually, any dream won't do. Joseph had a dream, the dream that one day God was going to use him in a particular way. And that came when he was age 16 or 17. And God had never let that dream be fulfilled until it was coming up. But you know, did you notice in that reading I gave earlier on? There's one little glitch in Joseph's character. He says this, but when all goes well with you, he says to the butler, remember me, show me kindness, mention me to Pharaoh, get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put into a prison. For one moment, Joseph has a moment of self-pity. Perhaps the only time we read of it. We all have our flaws. And even Joseph, after 11 years of boot camp, he'd still not learnt his lessons fully. Perhaps that was why God allowed the butler to forget him for 2 more years. You're not ready yet, Joseph. You've got 2 more years of study to do in the prison before you're ready for the crucial task. Don't be surprised by God's time frame on your life. At the right time, he will fulfill his promises. Has he made some promises to you? Promises that you have not seen yet fulfilled? God will not forget those promises. We've prayed for over 25 years for a son to return to his first love of God. And we believe that God's going to answer that prayer, hopefully in our lifetime. Remember, God never backs down on his promises. What's God saying to you today? Is he reminding you that he's in control? He's not forgotten you. Whatever your circumstances are, you need to know. As Max Lucado says in the title of his book, you will get through this because God is there. And he never left Joseph, and he's never left you, and he never will. So may the Lord bless you, keep you. And Lord, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that because of your word, we see ourselves in it so often. It's like a mirror reflecting, as James says. And Lord, we look at this and we pray this morning that you would just help us to remember that you're still in control. Whatever is happening with us, you are still in control of our lives. You're still faithful. You'll never let us down. And you've certainly not forgotten us. I wonder if you are wondering why the gifts that God has given you in the past are not being used right now. Maybe like Joseph, there is a time lag in between the giving of the gift and the use of it. But God says very clearly in his word, his gifts are under full warranty. They're never cancelled. They're never rescinded. Lord, will you bless us this morning? Help us to remember your faithfulness. Help us to be faithful. Help us to live lives that are full of your character. And Lord, we pray that we'll use the gifts you've given to bless other people. In Jesus' name.